Hello and welcome to Anecdotal Koreans. My name is Young.
And I'm Kyla. We are an interracial married couple with separate and distinct experiences with and around Korea.
This is a podcast where we talk about how those experiences continue to shape our lives and our marriage.
On today's episode, we have Amy Kim joining us again. Amy, can you give us a little intro about yourself?
Hello, thank you for having me back. My name is Amy Kim. I am Young's sister and Kyla's sister-in-law. And I go to school in Chicago, Illinois, studying musical theater. And I am born in the U.S., live in a second-generation, first-generation immigrant household. And yeah.
Awesome. Great to have you back. If you missed the first episode with Amy, you should go back and listen to that first because it was really good to hear more about Amy's, I guess, experience being a Korean American. So please do that and then come back to this one.
This episode's more like a Q&A type of episode.
We asked our listeners to submit questions specifically for Amy, but Young, you can answer if you want to. Yeah.
And you can as well if I can answer.
Yeah. So, and we got a good collection of questions. So I'm interested to hear what you guys have to say and how this conversation will go. Amy, this is specifically for you. Mm-hmm. I don't think Young and I can answer this because it's about musical theater.
We'll try.
So in your musical theater experience so far, do you feel limited to certain roles or... do you feel like you need to bring your Korean identity into theater at all?
That's a really good question. To cover the first part, do I feel limited in the roles I can go for? Yes, in the way that I would never go for a role that doesn't... For example, I wouldn't go for a role that's historically played by a Black woman, obviously. But because of my Korean identity and outwardly, I can't really hide the fact that I'm Asian. So it makes sense for me to go for any roles that are traditionally Asian characters. I'm still in school, so I haven't had a lot of opportunities for me auditioning outside of school. And with doing shows in school is different because the casting pool is limited. So the shows they can do is limited. We only have like 3 Asians in my class. So they're not going to do a show, for example, like Miss Saigon, which is an all Asian class, all Asian show. And so, this is a topic that comes up a lot in my classes and like with my fellow actors of color of like, what shows to go for, what roles to go for, because it's always a question if, am I gonna audition for a role that's played by a Chinese girl? Because it doesn't exactly fit with my identity, but there are parts of it. It depends on what the show is and what the character is, but there would be parts of it that I could accurately portray. And so it's always a question that's on everyone's minds in terms of like not even just with race and ethnicity, but like sexuality. I feel like most recently in The Prom with James Corden and like other very big people, The Prom, the musical on Netflix, a lot of people, James Corden just got a lot of hate for the fact that he's a straight white man playing a gay man, and not only just a gay man, but like a character that like comes out in the story and like is specific to it's always a question and something that all actors need to deal with and need to navigate by themselves because there's no protocol for this kind of stuff.
How much do you know about theater in South Korea, and do you see yourself ever like performing in the theater in South Korea, or going to South Korea and trying to get into the musical theater business there?
I know there's a booming musical industry in Korea right now, which I didn't really see growing up, but maybe that's just because our family wasn't really, we weren't theater goers, we still aren't. And but like once I started getting into theater and like knowing that that's what I want to do, I'd like fall into YouTube holes of musical productions in South Korea of like my favorite shows. And they're all translated into Korean, like all the songs, most of them. And so it's just really fascinating to me. I would love to do theater in Korea if that's ever possible. I think that's like always been on my mind. It's just, again, that's not an industry I've like I'm going to school for. Like I don't know how it's different over there of like how they do things. Also singing in Korean and acting in Korean would be a different thing. But it's really interesting. I saw a production of like on YouTube of In the Heights in done in Korea, which In the Heights is like the lyrics are like rapping and it's English and Spanish. But they did it and they translated it into Korean and they kept like some Spanish words like rhyme. It was just very interesting. But I see a lot of musical theater emerging in South Korea too, which is great.
Nice.
This is kind of like a random question, but have you ever thought about double eyelid surgery and like what that would mean for like your acting career?
Young, before Amy answers that, because when I first moved to Korea, I didn't know what double eyelids were.
Yeah.
So Young, can you give us a quick definition of what that is?
Amy, can you give us a quick
definition? Yes, I can. Commonly East Asians have monolids, which is you can't see an eyelid, a crease in our eyelids. It's like folded in. Young, I'm looking at your eyes right now. I see that you have two monolids. And then Kyla, most like European eyes, either like you have like hooded eyes, you have like a visible crease right above your eye.
I think I see above your left eye line. Right now.
Since forever, I actually have one double eyelid and one monolid. So I have asymmetrical eyelids. And it's funny because like mom has double eyelids and dad has monolids. So I kind of got both. I literally like my left eye is double eyelid. I've only thought about that because they're asymmetrical. And like sometimes on like a whack day, they'll both be monolid, they'll both be double eyelid. Like it just depends. But I really don't consider it like a necessity. I if I were to do it anywhere, it would be South Korea because South Korea is so good at plastic surgery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember that was a huge shock to me, was just how much I became more aware of like the influence of Western beauty standards in in Asian cultures, and just how often they would, especially the girls at such a young age in my school, like how often they would be talking about double eyelids or raising their nose bridge or even just like the jaw. It was crazy.
Do you remember that, Young? Do you remember that like contraption that our cousin brought from Korea? It's like a rolly thing on your jawbone to like thin out your face and give you like a V chin. I just think, yeah, Korea has a lot of I guess kind of all society beauty standards are just a little intense. But I do notice that Korea has like heavily puts a lot of emphasis on like beauty from a young age.
Yeah, and the emphasis on being more pale or trying to look as white as possible.
Definitely that was huge. Very Eurocentric.
Yeah. Speaking of, I guess, Korean culture norms, another question asks, what parts of Korean society do you wish American society would adopt and vice versa?
That's you guys could all talk about this because we all have different experiences. Because we were on the topic of beauty standards and beauty culture, I find that Korean society, there's like more acceptable judgment on others for being different or looking different or something like that. I don't know.
Would you say that people in the US are more inclusive and accepting of diversity?
Not exactly. I think behind closed, I feel like in Korea it's just more open. For example, comments about weight or comments about appearance, like from family members, from friends, from people you don't really know, it's just more open and it's normal and accepted. But there's definitely negative impacts on things. There's like things like, if you look like this, you probably don't study well. Mm-hmm. If you look like this, you're probably really good at English, or I don't know, like things like that. And just in terms of, I find that, like, this is just from my experience and the things I know, but like, in terms of society and being progressive, mm-hmm. Korea seems very socially conservative. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just, it's because like things that are different or things that don't seem like quote unquote the norm,
yeah.
Is harder to swallow in Korea. But maybe that's just, it's just different.
I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that like 99% of Koreans are Koreans, and like there's so many deep roots of like Confucian, Buddhist. Like there's so many things that kind of like ties all the people of Korea together as like one Korean identity.
Yeah.
And so like if you were to stray or break free from that mold a little bit, then it's a very stark difference.
Mm-hmm.
I guess in the States that's less noticeable because there are so many different types of people here.
Different regions. And also I think even just like the emphasis on personal responsibility, individualism,
yeah.
And like everyone's unique, everyone's special, and it's more individualistic. And
yeah.
Like there are pros and cons to that.
One thing that I guess was a shock to me was at the beginning of the pandemic when, and this is going along with the individualistic versus collectivism types of culture. At the beginning of the pandemic here in the States, it was so shocking to me how many people resisted wearing masks.
Mm-hmm.
Because growing up in Korea, it was just a common thing to do if you had a flu
like or every cold. Flu season.
Yeah, every mm-hmm. flu season people were wearing masks, and it was so widely accepted. And even just like, oh yes, I'm sick, I'm gonna wear a mask.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess I didn't realize in the States here, like, oh, masks are not a thing that people do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the deeper like reasoning behind that is also because here in America, people are so tied to their, generally speaking, tied to their
freedom
and individual rights, and you can't tell me what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I have not been to Korea since the pandemic,
mm-hmm.
but from what I've heard and read and just seen, it seems a lot more like, oh, yes, we're going to do this one thing together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't really hear about anti-maskers in Korea.
No.
Mm-hmm. I also see that.
Going back to the original question, another thing I not firsthand saw, but I was around a lot was the healthcare system in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because my mom was sick for the past year and a half I lived in Korea. And then living in the States for the past 4 or 5 years,
mm-hmm.
and just how much I've learned about how corrupt the healthcare system is here. That's one thing I wish was more common in the States, was just a good universal healthcare where everybody could get the healthcare they needed, yeah. and it was provided to them.
And prioritized,
and you didn't have to go in to debt just to get the treatment you need,
mm-hmm.
or a loved one needs. I often wonder, and I've asked my dad this briefly, but we haven't really had much of a conversation about it, was just how stress-free or that process was having my mom in the hospital for so long in Korea, compared to if my mom was in the hospital for that long here in the States.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the school that my dad worked at, we were very privileged with the benefits they provided and the healthcare insurance that they were able to give my dad. So just what would that difference be,
yeah.
if my mom was sick for 2+ years in and out of hospitals in the States versus in Korea?
Mm.
Yeah. That's just something I wonder about. often.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know much about money. But I, as you know, every time we go to Korea, one of us, whenever someone goes to Korea, we always have like a dentist checkup. Mm-hmm. Or just anything, like if anyone needs work done on their teeth, like some big procedure that's probably like 10 times more expensive here than it is in Korea.
People like make plans to do all their dental and like medical things. They fly out to Korea and say like, might as well while I'm here.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I feel like I've just noticed that about Korea from a young age. Like it's just, stuff is better there.
Yeah.
In terms of healthcare.
Now, of course, it's also good things about living in America.
So true.
Like, on, like, summer vacations, mom asked me if I would like to spend, like, a month in Korea at a Korean school.
Hagwon?
I was in third grade.
Hagwon is academy.
And so, like, either Hagwon or going to a Korean school for a month.
Yeah.
I said, no way, Jose.
Literally.
Like, I said, mother, like...
Never.
This is... summer break.
Yeah.
I am not doing school. Not even those math booklets that you're going to make me do.
And it's not just school. It's like 10 times harder than the school we do now.
Oh,
like it's just more intense. And that's what, oh my gosh, I think about it a lot. I'm like, what if we lived in Korea and like my parents never moved and I was born in Korea and I was forced to go to school from like 8 to 3, 8, every day, and then after school program like 4 to like 9 p.m. academy. I would just not survive. And if I and so like just academics is so heavily emphasized in Korea to the point where like Korea has like the highest suicide rate in any country because of how much like the pressure on students to like
expectations and
And so I absolutely would not be pursuing what I am now, like theater and art and being creative, if I did not live in the U.S. Because there is that, like, American dream, like, ability to, that, like, mindset to do anything you want.
I think, speaking as teachers, like, I can't imagine what it's like teaching in Korea and whether like how enjoyable that would be. I know like our aunt is a teacher.
Yeah.
And that's like a respected job. Like
it is,
a cushy job, like really.
And her mom was a teacher.
Yeah. It's like it's a good job. Mm-hmm, but in America it's like it's a sacrifice as teachers. Like you do it because you love it, right? And I wonder how much I would like, not like teaching in an international school in Korea, but like teaching at a Korean school with the like heavily test centric.
Yeah.
Because like for Korean students, the, what is it called?
수능?
Yeah. 수능?
수능 is the SAT of Korea. It's a standardized
test.
But
like mega SAT. It's like, it's like one.
Life or death.
It is crazy. Like I, some facts about the 수능. I know that all students take on the same day.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
And they also like divert planes on that day because there's like a listening portion in the English, in the English test. They divert planes on that day, like flying over South Korea so that the students can focus. And that
you can get a police escort if you're running late.
Oh my goodness. The rumor. That's what they say. We've heard lots about this 수능 because we never had to take it.
Oh man.
But it's a big deal. I feel like a lot of, like, for Korean students, like, their whole lives, like, build up to that moment, like, senior year. And then I don't know what happens after that. Then they try to get into better colleges and,
I think going to an international school, my experience in education in Korea, we were able to, I guess, avoid a lot of the normalized expectations that is placed on maybe a public Korean school or just a more Korean, traditional Korean school. But I still saw from my Korean friends a lot of the expectations placed on them by their parents and even by themselves, like on themselves. And it was just insane the amount of commitments they had and expectations they put on their grades and when it was time to apply for colleges, I was like, Calvin College, check. And everyone was like, Ivy League, Ivy League.
Yeah.
And I was like, have you heard of Calvin College in Grand Rapids, Michigan?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was, I think I experienced a lot of culture shock with that because my family and I think a lot of American expectations are not super focused on you need to get the best grades, get to the best college.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am very grateful to have gotten my education in the U.S. because I think I got a good education. And I will say, probably student debt in Korea is not as bad as it is here.
Yeah.
I haven't even thought about that.
That would be interesting to
Or you don't
about.
Hear about it.
Yeah, you don't hear about it because it's not bad. Probably.
Yeah.
So Korea gets one extra point for that.
Yeah.
Probably, like, college is not horribly expensive.
Yeah.
I want to ask you how you feel about our parents.
Period. just in general.
just like in terms of, like, was mom a tiger mom? Was, you know, like...
That's funny.
Because you, like, I said this in one of my earlier episodes, but you are a musical theater major.
I am still.
And that's quite impressive as a Korean.
It is.
Korean American.
I'm breaking the stereotypes. Our parents were pretty relaxed. We were very lucky that way. I don't think we, like, because of like expectations from Korea, a lot of Korean parents who are raising kids in the US still, like, have a lot of pressures on their kids to, like, go to Ivies and, like, all that. I don't think we had that pressure. Like, it would have been cool, but, like, I also think, like, they just take our personalities for account. I was never gonna succeed in STEM. I wasn't gonna be a doctor. So, like, they knew that, and they didn't put any pressure on me. They did, when I was a kid, I was, like, behind in school for a long time, so, like, they'd give me, like, math workbooks to do during the summer. Probably, like, first grade through, like, eighth grade, like even through high school, like, they'd just be like, Amy, you need to be better at math.
And then, just crying.
So we have, like, shelves of, like, math workbooks that, like, are, like, 3 pages deep, you know? It's like first grade math workbook, fourth grade math workbook.
I mean, 3 pages deep, like, you did three,
like,
pages.
Only did 3 pages.
Yeah,
exactly.
The rest are blank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't think I ever experienced, like, any tiger mom. Obviously, like, there are expectations, but, like, all parents want their kids to do good in school.
Yeah.
But nothing stereotypical, like...
I wonder if I paved the way for you. I, like, laid down the road to the American dream, because I was gonna say, like, in my experience, when I was younger, I think there was... still, like, some lingering, like, mom and dad are learning how to be parents in America.
Yeah.
And, like, it's their first time as parents. It's their first time as parents in America. Like, so they're just trying their best.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is making sure that their kids are successful in school.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe when they got a lot of pushback from me, they were like, okay, with Amy, like, especially with Amy, we can't push as hard.
Yeah.
But I think, like, in colleges or things like that, at the most, they probably told me to just, like, go for it and apply to the dream schools, the reach schools. But I mean, like, I really didn't need to.
In terms of, like, career or, like, what they want us to be, there was no pressure with that.
Oh yeah.
But studying and academics, there's obviously pressure. I studied for SATs, still got a bad score. But
Let's move on to another question from our listeners.
Let's.
They ask, did you ever have a moment at a friend's house when you were younger or recently when you realized your house or culture was different than theirs? Did you think theirs was normal or maybe yours was normal and they were the abnormal ones?
Young, did you ever have any?
Well, I knew that I was a minority, so I knew that I was abnormal, if anything. Like,
when did you know you were a minority?
When did you learn that word?
I don't know. I think the most recent experience was when we were in Wisconsin.
At my family.
Yeah. I think just, like, the food.
Okay.
I love pizza. I'm famously known to be a fan of bread. Mm-hmm. I love bread.
You do love bread.
I came home this week. There's rice in the rice cooker, and I love rice. Yeah, like, I think rice is an underappreciated like food staple.
Rice is the bread of Asia.
Eating just plain rice with your fingers and putting it into your mouth with nothing else. Just like clumps of rice.
Oh man, for breakfast tomorrow, I hope I can eat some rice with some like hot water. Like, that'll be enough.
Young, what? Oh, 누룽지?
Not rice even that.
Just rice and hot water. Because
nurungji actually has some like charred, like burnt flavor, cooked rice, but like,
But going back to the question.
Yeah, I'm sure that wasn't your first time where you realized you were a minority.
or just like, when did you feel like
you were different?
You realized differences between like your white friend's house and your house.
Yeah.
I mean, I really don't remember. Maybe like, I don't know. Okay. I'm really bad at remembering things this, but like
maybe if I talk, it'll make you remember something.
For sure, like taking off shoes and things like that.
We did talk about that in the last episode.
It was fun.
It's crazy time. I remember, like, while you're talking, I remember as a kid. Oh, I remember going to my friend's house a lot, and her friend's house, my friend's house, there were a lot of sleepovers, like huge slumber parties, like birthday parties with like 10 plus little children. And I was like, oh, I don't really have big slumber parties at my house. Mm. And that might not be specific to Korean identity at all. It might just be our family. Mm-hmm. It's just, if I was a parent, that'd be a lot to handle. I could not do it. And I'd be tired. But when I did have friends over, it'd be like one or two. Or actually, no, I did have birthday parties. Anyways, when I did have friends over, I remember a specific moment. She was like, my friend was like, your house smells like Korean food.
Hmm.
And I didn't know if that was a good thing or a bad thing, but she said, your house always smells like food. And it made me think, like, what food? Is it kimchi? Is it bulgogi? Like, mm-hmm. I assume it's kimchi because kimchi just has a strong scent and we eat it at every meal.
Yeah.
And I think that didn't have a positive connotation in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Of like, because when I went to her house, it smelled like, I don't know, it just had a house smell.
Yeah.
It like smelled like there was a smell, but it wasn't food.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't food specific to their culture.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember that was.
I mean, like every house has a smell, mm-hmm. and like I think we even smell our house if we're like gone for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you came back for Christmas,
mm-hmm.
and you smelled our house, what did you notice?
I don't really remember me smelling your house.
Do you not intentionally smell your house? And
I think like coming home to a house smelling like food is a good sign. It means someone's cooking and there's gonna be something delicious. But as a kid and hearing that from another kid, and I already had those experiences of like lunchbox trauma of like me opening my lunchbox to Korean food, like kids making like faces and saying stuff.
Right.
So when someone says it smells like Korean food, that's like already have that negative connotation. Like that's not a good thing. Even if that friend like thinks it smells good.
I don't know if this really answers the question about like going to a friend's house or whatever, but since we're kind of talking about like the first time you felt a negative thing about your identity or something like that. I remember being on a plane going somewhere like in the US and me sitting next to this other guy and we were just talking. I was like 10 or something like that.
Okay, yeah.
But then like I forget. He just said like, hey, like, are you like Buddhist? Because
I said 10, like... You were 10 and this man asked you if you're Buddhist?
No, like, because I said, like, I'm from Korea or something like that. And then he was like, are you Buddhist? And, like, he, like, bowed, like, his thing. Like, do you pray or something like that? I'm like, well, actually, my dad's a pastor and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And, like, it was, like, kind of like a you shrug it off type of thing. It's like, oh, yeah, it makes sense why he would think I'm Buddhist. Because, like, East Asia is, like, a predominantly Buddhist place.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
Or, like, that's the picture you can get in
I've
your mind.
I've never asked if I was Buddhist.
The bow, though.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I do remember... talking about airports and airplanes. At airports, sometimes I remember, I think it was like 12 when I was going to Korea. The TSA guy, he checks our passports, looks our face, and he says, like, or maybe just 안녕하세요 mm-hmm. or something. But that those things were very cool to me. Mm. Like when white people saying oh, talking yeah. in Korean, yeah. I was like, oh, okay. But or like he said like 감사합니다 or something. Uh-huh. He like sees that we're Korean
yeah.
and that we're going to Korea, so he says 안녕하세요.
I remember like premium outlet. Mm-hmm. Those people with like the shoe cleaning, like they're, yeah. they're trying to sell their like shoe sponges or whatever. Yeah. And like he just shouts like, ni hao, and like, oh. like runs through the list of like Asian no. languages until he finds Korean. And then it's like, oh, you know Korean. Oh, and like, God. I don't need that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I have so many of that. Like, most recently was when we're in LA, yeah, Hollywood Boulevard. There's so many people on Hollywood Boulevard selling you stuff, talking to you, like people dressed up as things, mm-hmm. like trying to get you to pay to take a picture with them. Mm-hmm. So many ni haos. So oh many. Gosh. I actually got called like a racial slur by like a Spider-Man. Oh. On Hollywood. On
not Spider-Man.
No way home. On Hollywood Boulevard. But just so many like ni hao. Just yeah, a lot.
Yeah.
And you just learn to, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, what, I have a question. Which parts of those experiences do you feel like now you kind of shrug off? And are there other scenarios where it stays with you, where you like, it hits you a bit more? I'm sure every scenario like stays with you and hurts.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, but are there some situations where you just are like, shrug it off, like, whatever. But are there other experiences where you're like, wow, that was really intense and I'm really uncomfortable
yeah.
and that's going to stay with me for a long time?
I find that I don't experience racism in my everyday life. Mm-hmm. And I really haven't since mm-hmm. I was a kid. When I do, it's like a rare occurrence.
Okay.
And so I feel like every time it's been like, it takes me aback.
It's memorable.
It's yeah. always memorable.
I think that's, I was going to say, I don't experience it on a daily occurrence.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't feel like it's a part of my life.
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel like I'm struggling every day to get yeah. by without any like racist remarks against me. So when it does happen, or like even like the smallest things,
mm-hmm.
they're memorable.
Yeah.
And like, mm-hmm. they don't hurt me, but I can like, pull it out of my file folder.
Mm. Yeah. And be like, yes, this was a moment where somebody racially profiled you and or made an assumption about your identity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I just don't surround myself with a lot of racist people. And I've been in the cities I've lived in and have memory in Seattle and Chicago, and they're both I don't have a lot of instances of people
mm-hmm.
just saying stuff.
I think people like assuming that I'm Chinese just makes sense, like, statistically. So like I'm more forgiving. I'm like,
yeah,
makes sense.
I remember as a kid though, I was like, I remember it was just because Korea was a smaller country and mm-hmm. no one really knew it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be like, I'm not Chinese. Mm-hmm. Why would you say that?
Just a nationalistic
yeah.
part of you coming up. Oh, I remember like third grade or something like that. Oh, this was kind of scary for me because, like,
yeah.
I think, like, as an adult, and now you guys know me, like, I brush things off really easily.
Mm-hmm.
I, like, deflect, and, like, nothing ever sticks to me, really.
Yeah.
So, like, as a kid in elementary school at recess, there was, like, this white girl who came up to me and, like, did the eyes thing. But, no, but it was, okay. She did, like, Chinese, Japanese, like, dirty knees, like, look at these type of things.
Oh, whoa, I've never heard that ever.
What's look at these?
I don't know.
Okay, it's some
but like,
racist rhyme.
Yeah.
Or maybe. And so I was kind of like, haha, okay. But like, I knew like,
mm-hmm. yeah.
it wasn't cool.
Yeah.
And then so I went home
yeah.
and I was like, hey, dad, like, check this out. Like,
oh, no.
And then like, that's it. Like, hey, like, tell that girl that that's racist.
Yeah.
But like in Korean.
It was really?
Like, I don't know what that word means in Korean or in English.
Did you say 인종차별?
Yeah.
Wow.
So like, I was like, as an elementary student,
yeah.
I was like, no, I'm not gonna
Tell her that Korean word.
I think I knew
what he was saying. That's racist. But I wasn't 100% sure.
Right.
But that's something that I remember.
Yeah. It sticks with you.
It does.
Yeah.
But not really for me.
It leaves a mark. Yes.
Here's another question that I think would be interesting to talk about. What are the differences between a first-generation immigrant and a second-generation immigrant?
Hmm. Amy, would you consider me a first-generation immigrant?
1.2.
Hmm. I would say 1.7 even.
Well, I wasn't going to say 1.5, but I don't know. You only came here when you were 3, so maybe you're 1.3.
That's what I'll...
Because you're 10 years old right now.
No, that's why I said 1.7, because...
Yeah.
Because mom and dad are definitely first generation.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Differences between first generation and second generation. Hasan Minhaj kind of talked about this in his... he's a comedian. Indian comedian. In his Netflix special or something. I just consume a lot of his content. He talked about how... when something happened to him and his family, racist thing happened to mm-hmm. him and his family, he felt the urge to fight back mm-hmm. and be this, I'm American, mm-hmm. I'm da 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 da, I have just the right to be here as you do. Mm-hmm. But his dad was
head down.
Keep going.
This is the sacrifice you make for being in this country. Yeah. Mm-hmm. this is what we need to deal with. And that was eye-opening, because I don't know if that was exactly my experience, but that added up for me. Personally, growing up, I feel like I almost, tried to justify my Koreanness more than my Americanness.
Expand on that.
I was proud of the fact that I was Korean, and, we don't, first of all, it's privilege. East Asians, we just didn't experience the same... Hasan Minhaj was post 9/11 mm-hmm. and he's a brown American. And so we didn't, it's just our experience is different as mm-hmm. East Asians. We experience less racism and prejudice against us in different levels.
Right.
Anyways, and so I had pride over the fact that I was Korean, and I'd teach Korean to my teachers and teach mm-hmm. Korean to my friends, and I'd be like, my Korean name is Yeseom, and I'd write out every single paper. And then as I was growing up more, I'd tried to prove my Koreanness to, I don't know, I took pride over the fact that I spoke Korean. Mm-hmm. And not many other second generation Korean immigrant kids can mm-hmm. do that, and they go to Korean school. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. I don't really have a moment in my life where I felt like I needed to stand up for myself and prove my Americanness.
Mm. That's interesting. Yeah, because some other immigrants might feel the opposite way, where mm-hmm. they have to feel like, hey, I love this country just as much as you do.
Mm-hmm.
And then, with first generation immigrants, I don't know, with our parents, if they... tried to assimilate more and be American, because I don't really necessarily think that they did that.
I think for me, I remember very little about living in Korea, and yet I was born there, so most of my life I was a Korean citizen. Mm-hmm. Until September 16, 2013, my naturalization day.
Mm-hmm.
You guys can send me presents.
Yeah, well, on your naturalization day, okay?
No, I was joking, but, I was thinking about buying all of the 4th of July stuff, the day after 4th of July, and, saving it for September 16 and, fun. Having a big party. But, yeah, I didn't really... I didn't feel American until... Even on that day, it wasn't,
a
celebratory day as much. Mm-hmm. I went to the place, did the oath and everything.
But and then I clapped.
But I don't think until 2016, college, when I started to vote and actually take ownership and all the responsibilities of a citizen, did I really feel okay, I am now a citizen of this country, and now I have to, I guess, like, deal with being a citizen, yeah. and yet also staying true and holding on to my Korean heritage, my identity.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously that's still an ongoing process of, like, what do I think about myself?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess now more the question is, where does Korea lie in my brain? Like, yeah, what do I think about Korea?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Before we move on to the last question, when you first said the question, I was thinking, first generation Koreans?
Oh, yeah, that's the question.
Did not cry when they watched Minari?
Yes.
Second generation yes. cried when they watched yeah. Minari.
Minari, in that's the A24 movie with Steven Yeun.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest.
That's the biggest difference.
Yeah. I remember when you asked your dad if he watched it or, like, how he felt after watching it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm making this up, but it was, I don't know if you had this conversation with your dad or we later had this conversation together, but it's almost like the first generation immigrants come to America expecting these hardships or these struggles that they're going to face.
Mm-hmm.
But the second generation born in America are like, oh, I'm born in the States. Why am I not receiving the same types of privilege mm-hmm. as other white kids born in the States?
Or, like, they were dragged along yeah. with their parents, so they had no choice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of like a unfair hand that they've been dealt.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we can't hide the fact that we're Asian.
Yeah. Yeah.
We can get double eyelid surgery.
Yeah, we can.
That helps.
We can do as much as we can.
Here's another question. If you could choose, would you want to be born in Korea and just continue living in Korea? Or would you want to be a first-generation immigrant, like your parents, born in Korea, then moved to the States after some time?
Mm.
Or a second-generation immigrant, born in the States to immigrant parents?
Mm.
Or, last option, born in the U.S., just far removed from any immigrant.
Like fifth generation.
Yeah, like fifth.
Like Kyla.
Like me. Swedish. Ooh, yeah. I have no connection to Swedish
okay.
yeah.
things.
And we are both... But Korean ethnic-wise.
So first, clarify which one you are. So Amy, you are second generation.
Yeah.
Young, you are...
I'm not
one. What are you?
You're 1.5.
Yeah. You're born in Korea / first this generation. Okay. So now talk about which one. If you could choose, which one would you want?
That's a really good question. I feel like I could, like, rank these.
Hmm.
On there's pros and cons to each. I think the thing I would be least likely to choose is first generation immigrant.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause being raised in Korea, coming to America, new country, new language, don't know anyone, barely have any money, that doesn't sound very fun.
No, I don't think you would want to choose that yeah. life.
So I have so much respect and love for my parents for, like, the sacrifices and all just, like, immigrant parents mm-hmm. or sacrifices they've, like, made. That's probably last on my list.
I think next for me would be the last option, like fourth or fifth generation
born in the U.S.
Mm.
Assuming that I don't speak Korean.
Yeah
because I feel like you'd run into so many of like do you speak Korean? Like
yeah.
no, like I'm so far removed, I just look yeah. like this.
Yeah. My like second to least option is born in Korea and raised in Korea.
Hmm.
And that's the difference between us, Young. Because I just really can't imagine I've never lived in Korea. Mm-hmm. You have. I can't imagine how my life would be like. I mean,
I can't either.
You can't either, but like that is like so far from me.
Mm-hmm.
Being Korea.
Actually, I'm going to switch. Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then probably also like,
are we just like, are we just saying what we are is what yeah, we like?
Yeah. That is what we're saying. We like what we are. Because that's all we know.
Yeah.
It's our experience. And so far we're okay.
I would say though, like a caveat is I would be who I am, but I could see myself moving back to Korea as an elderly person.
Oh, that's option five.
To take advantage of all like
move the social immigrating to Korea.
Yeah.
Because, like, to take advantage of if healthcare. You live in Seoul, like, you can take, you don't need to a car, you don't need.
Oh, yeah. Oh, oh yeah. That's my transportation. Dream. To retire into the city mm-hmm. versus retire out to the country where you have no neighbors for yeah. 5 miles and nobody can hear you if you yeah. fall.
That's how loud are your falls? But yeah, I like being second generation immigrant. There are obviously tough things that come with it, but I think I get the best of both worlds in terms of my identity to America and my identity to Korea. And being able to know like both languages, mm-hmm. very beneficial. I can talk about people to my mom right in front of them in Korean at a grocery store mm-hmm. line and not know what they don't know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think hypotheticals like that, it's just like, it just boggles my mind. Yeah. I just can't fathom any other option besides what I have now.
Mm-hmm. All right, one last question that I think will be fun to hear your responses. It's kind of a silly question, but you guys both speak Korean and English. So when you die, do you think your last words will be in Korean or in English?
Let's or say it on a mixture. The count of three. What you think it? Kylie, you also say it.
Oh, okay.
Okay, 1, 2, 3.
English. What was that?
That was my last.
No, you don't say your last words. You say what language you think they would be in.
I think I'm going to just breathe out like a...
Yeah. Will it be a Korean sigh? I think English that's a Korean.
It sounds like an...
like an ajushi.
It depends on who I'm talking to, yeah. obviously. But like, it's just... It's. I mean...
I think it's likely English.
Yeah. Assuming I'm going to die in the US, yeah. and assuming my parents will not be alive when I'm... dying
also yeah, assuming we die old
yes yeah, like,
yeah on a bed surrounded
yeah.
by our loved ones
yeah, yeah
if you die tomorrow at the farm with your parents yeah, you yeah. might say something in Korean yeah. to them
oh no
anyways, but most likely I probably will be speaking English because really the only people I talk in Korean to are my parents
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Young and I have talked about this quite a bit recently how we want our future kids to speak Korean
yeah and they so, should just speak Spanish.
Oh my gosh, that would be...
Only Spanish.
They're half Korean, half white, but only speak yeah. Spanish. People would be so confused. But if we end up being like a Korean language-speaking household, mm-hmm. I imagine I could say something Korean to them.
Or, I hope so.
yeah. Just maybe one word.
All right, well, Amy Kim, thank you for joining us once again. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, guys. Those are some great questions. You guys have... wonderful listeners.
Yes, we do.
Great question askers.
To all of our listeners, thank mm-hmm. you very much. We appreciate you.
Before you go, do you want to drop your handles?
Yes. My handles.
Is that what the kids call it?
Yeah, that's what the kids call it. My Instagram, you can follow me at amyesom, AmyYesom. And I also have a music account, Amy Kim Music. And but that's it.
Yeah. You can follow us at Anecdotal Koreans on Instagram.
Send us an email at anecdotalkoreans@gmail.com.
If you've made it this far in the podcast, you get a little secret. A little secret is that I run the Anecdotal Koreans yes. account.
All of those wonderful posts.
We are so... I am Amy Kim.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I think if it was up to Young and I, there would still be nothing there.
If musical theater doesn't pan out, then you know you have a career working for me at Anecdotal Koreans.
Social media manager.
All right. Thank you, Amy.
Thank you, guys.
Outro music.